Genesis chapter 1, I think we'll read verse 1 through 5, and let that be our text and starting point. Really, probably should read the entire chapter. We're going to begin a series of what will be many, many messages entitled, In the Beginning. In the Beginning. And I'm sure most of you will understand by that the fact that we're going to be going in and going through the book of Genesis. And that's what we're going to be doing. What I really anticipate is starting a look at the book of Genesis for a few weeks on Sunday morning in our services. Then I fully plan to move our going through the book of Genesis to Sunday evenings once we've wrapped up what we're looking at on Sunday evenings presently. The book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to read what one commentator has to say in the opening of Genesis concerning this particular passage of Scripture. In the beginning, God. These first four words of the Bible form the foundation for faith. Believe these words and you can believe all that follows in the Bible. Genesis provides the only authoritative account for creation, meaningful for people of all ages, but exhaustible by no one. The divine record assumes the existence of God rather than seeking to prove it. The Bible has a special name for those who choose to deny the fact of God. The name is fool, according to Psalm 14:1 and 53:1. Just as the Bible begins with God, so he should be first in our lives. What a profound statement. All the weight of those four words. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. It's not the beginning of God. It's speaking here in verse number 1 concerning the beginning of time. God is eternal. And when he began to create, he began and started time. And time, which is still ticking away before us today, has been continuing since and will until the Lord brings it to an end. He's not speaking about the beginning of God. He's speaking about the beginning of time. And he's also speaking about the beginning of creation. This is where God began, and God gives us a record of his beginning, his work of creation. In the beginning, God, I would add, in the beginning, God was. God was. He didn't begin, he didn't start. God has no beginning or start. God is eternal. And in the beginning, when God began time and God began the creation, God was. God always has been. It's hard for us to understand. As we think about time, we go back to the beginning of time, and before that, God existed. He existed before time as we know it. Eventually, time's going to come to an end, and God's going to continue to exist. We sometimes speak about eternity past and eternity future with this human realm of time wedged in the between them. And that's what Genesis chapter 1 is speaking about. God started time, God started the work of creation, and He created all things, but before He started this, He was. And when time comes to an end, God will be. God is eternal. It's a difficult concept. But by faith, we've got to believe what the book tells us. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I like what that commentator said. If you can believe these four words, really believe these four words, the Bible doesn't contain anything that'll give you any trouble. If you can get this foundation right, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Anything that follows in Scripture will be easy to accept. Easy to understand. God is eternal. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 2. Psalm 90, verse number 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before God made the mountains, before He formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, God was. God was. Maybe it's this passage of Scripture that gives us the thought of eternity past and eternity future. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From eternity past to eternity future, God is eternal. God is everlasting. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that's speaking of God. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. This is what the Holy One says. This is what the Eternal One says. This is what the high and the lofty one says. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and holy one inhabiteth eternity. He dwells in eternity. God is separate and distinct from matter and from all creation. And our text lays before us that fact. In the beginning of time, in the beginning of the creation, God was, God existed. God inhabits eternity. God inhabits that which is of the everlasting realm. Now in that text from Genesis chapter 1, not only does this passage of Scripture reveal to us that God is eternal, but it lays before us that God is omnipotent. Looking at the creation and looking at all that God created and looking at how it all continues to this day, you're not looking right if you don't see the omnipotence of God. If you don't see the fact that God can do anything and does all that is according to His will and all that pleases Him. In the beginning, God. We see the omnipotence of God in that statement because God made something from nothing. That's pretty powerful. God made something from nothing. Before God created matter, before God created the heavens and the earth, there was none. It was just God. But in the beginning of the creation, the beginning of time, God was and God made something out of nothing. Evolution declares that something comes from something. Something makes something. But the question evolution can't answer is, where does that original something come from? They're baffled. We're not baffled about the fact that God made the heavens and the earth, and God made something from nothing. Before God made something of nothing, there was nothing but God. And how do we know that? Well, we have something the evolutionist doesn't have. We have a book. We have the Word of God. And God writes for us in this book where time began, where creation began. And we need to be solid. We need to be rock solid on that statement, in the beginning, God. Because it reveals to us that God is eternal, and it reveals to us that God is omnipotent. He made something of nothing. Then He gave us His Word and preserved His Word up to this very hour for us to read and understand these things. All the wonder of God's Word. That statement I read from that commentator. The divine record assumes the existence of God rather than seeking to prove it. The Bible comes from the perspective of God speaking, God revealing Himself to us. God doesn't have to give evidence of His existence when He's speaking to us in this context. He's speaking to us about the fact that He is, always has been, always will be. He began time, He began creation, He made something out of nothing. And you need to believe, and I need to believe, that in the beginning, God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we see the omnipotence of God, I believe, in those two words, and God said. God said. God didn't have to put a lot of effort into it. God didn't have to break a sweat. God didn't have to form a committee and decide what was going to be the best course to take. When it came to creating, when it came to starting the creation, when it came to starting time, God made something out of nothing. And the omnipotence of God is seen in the fact that all God had to do is speak. And it was so. Through this first chapter, you find a repetition of that thought. And God said, and to some degree or another, and it was so. God is omnipotent. Let's go to the Psalms again, 148. Psalm 148. We're going to read the entire psalm. Listen for this thought of God's omnipotence. Listen for the greatness of God praised and glorified in the words of this psalm. And look for one verse in particular in light of this, and God said, demonstrating his omnipotence from our text. Psalm 148, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. In case you're not paying attention, I want you to miss it. The fifth verse is the one I wanted you to look for. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He spoke. It's all God had to do. He's omnipotent. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all ye deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes of all, judges of the earth. Both young men and maiden, old men and children. Let them praise the Lord, the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. In this psalm, the creation is listed. The creation is spoken of. And the creation, all of the creation, nothing is left out. The creation is called, as well as men and women are called, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he spoke. Praise the Lord, for he commanded. And they were made. They were created. Genesis 1 again. In the beginning, God reveals to us that God is eternal, reveals to us that God is omnipotent. And as we read Genesis chapter 1 and read of the creation and that God created, we find that God created everything. God created everything. There are many so-called Christians, there are many so-called religions and denominations of the world who insist that God created the heavens and the earth, began the work in verse number 1. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there was a great cataclysm or a big bang. And then God restarted creation in verse number 3. That's not so. God didn't start the work and then let it set and fester for millions of years. God began the work of creation, and God created everything that was created. He didn't get the ball rolling and then let things evolve. We see the greatness of God in the fact that he created everything. In verse number 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was good. I'm thinking that this thought of God created every living thing, by context, means every living thing in the water, everything maybe in the air, but it's a statement that God created everything. There's not anything that was created that God didn't create. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Just snatch part of that verse away, and I don't think I'm doing any harm to Scripture. The Lord has made all things. The Lord has made all things. Hebrews 11. Hebrews the 11th chapter. Verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, people say, prove it. Well, we don't have to prove it. It's by faith. We believe it. We believe what God has to say. But we have the word of God, and I believe we can go beyond faith and prove God created all things, because the Bible tells us that. But we're told here in verse number 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke. God commanded. God created everything. Flip back a little bit to Hebrews 1. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Sounds real similar to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew writer under inspiration says, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the heavens. They're the works of thine hand. In the beginning, God. We see his eternal nature. We see his omnipotence. We see he created and made all things. He created matter. He created all animal life. The Bible makes it very clear. Animal life, as far as water is concerned, air is concerned, or land is concerned, God made everything. And God certainly made man. And we'll get to that eventually as we progress through the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, back to our text. We see God as eternal, we see God as omnipotent, we see God created everything without exception, everything. We also see in the record here, in the beginning, God, we find the Trinity of God. We find that God is a triune being. We see that first and foremost by the word God in verse number 1. In the beginning, God. The word for God there is Elohim. It's a plural word. In the beginning, God is revealed as a plurality, as the Trinity, as the three in one. In verse 1, 2, and 3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and upon the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In those three verses you find the Trinity. Verse 1, God creating. Verse 2, God the Spirit moving. Verse 3, God the Son saying, God said. When God speaks, we find Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was who? Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verse number 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Who was he speaking to when he used us? Who was he speaking to? Who was he speaking concerning when he used the word our? He was speaking of the Son. He was speaking of the Spirit. He was speaking of the Trinity, the Elohim. In the beginning, God. God is revealed to us as a Trinity, a triune being. In Genesis chapter 1, again in that statement, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. We find that God is a sovereign being. Nobody else is involved. Nobody else is considered. There wasn't anybody else to consider. There was only God. And God acted sovereignly when he created the heavens and the earth. God acted sovereignly when he created all things. He created all things as it was pleasing to him, according to his will. And no one else was consulted, or nobody's help was needed. God is sovereign. We find in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul talking to those at Athens speaks of the sovereignty of God, particularly in relationship to the creation, I believe. Acts 17, verse 23. We'll read verse 23 through 28. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You know the setting. On Athens, Mars Hill, they had a god, they had a statue. They had an image for all the gods that they could think of. And to cover all their bases, they had one marked out to the unknown God, made out for the one they didn't know. Well, it just so happens to be that the one they didn't know, Paul knew. The one that they didn't know, we know. The one that they didn't have any relationship with, we have a relationship with. Him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You don't know this God, but I know him. I declare him unto you. He's the God that made the heavens and the earth, and he is the Lord. He is the sovereign of heaven and earth. There is no other. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He is Lord of heaven and earth. We look at the creation record of Genesis chapter 1. As we consider the fact that in the beginning, God, we see God is eternal, omnipotent, created all things. He's a Trinity, a triune being, and he is sovereign. He's God. And let us lay that foundation. And as we go forward in the weeks to come, and we begin to move through the book of Genesis with all that God has to tell us, with all that God wants us to understand, with all that God wants us to know, let us be rock solid, as I said, on that thought. In the beginning, God. God did not begin. God did not start. Time began. The creation began. God was. God is eternal. In the beginning, God. If you can get solid on those, the rest of the book will be easy. The rest of Scripture, all of Scripture, is easy if you understand how great God is. How great our God is. He's eternal, omnipotent, created everything, a Trinity, he's sovereign. He is God and there is no other God. The Apostle Paul, in revealing this God to those on Mars Hill, says, this God who is Lord of heaven and earth, this God who you don't know, this God that I speak to you about, this God who you don't have a relationship, but I have a relationship with him, this God created all things, and this God commands all men everywhere to repent. In the beginning, God, the God we're talking about from Genesis chapter 1, calls everyone, without exception in this room this morning, calls everyone to repent, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the salvation that Almighty God has provided for in the sending of his Son. Have you ever seen yourself a sinner? Have you ever repented of your sins? Have you ever believed, according to the commandment of God, that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And God calls you today to repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. In the beginning, God. First four words of the book. First four books of Genesis. First four words of the whole Bible. And everything rests upon that. Let's stand together.